Wow, I'm doing what the medical doctors are doing to us, saying there's nothing more you can do. I never want to leave someone without hope ever again.
That had to have been a pretty tough realization.
There's like so much shame and guilt, right?
Yeah.
So much.
Here's the thing, we're all doing the best that we can with the knowledge we have at the time. That's really important. We're on the journey and that we stay on that journey to continue to learn so we can do the best that we can.
Any mistake, failure, anything that we feel like didn't go right, it's just data that we can learn from and implement in the future.
That's the thing. You can't take an herbal formula and put it into a study and have like placebo and one group getting it because they're all going to have different patterns.
It's truly personalized care, and Western care wants to be one thing for the masses.
This is crazy.
It's so crazy. Welcome to the BK Petcast. I'm Bryce, and my wife Kinsey and I created this podcast to help you enrich and extend the lives of your dogs and cats at home. And today, we're joined by Dr. Katie Woodley. Dr. Katie Woodley is an expert holistic veterinarian and founder of The Natural Pet Doctor, who is passionate about integrating Eastern into Western medicine to help pets achieve optimal health and vibrancy through nutrition, acupuncture, emotional health, and herbal medicine. Her mission is to make sure pet parents know that they have options to support their pets, whether through illness or maintaining optimal health through an integrative approach. Dr. Woodley provides mentorship and holistic pet guidance, as well as support to pet parents and pet professionals across the world with her online Healthy Holistic Pet for Life Blueprint program to help break down the barriers of not having access to a holistic veterinarian and provide hope and confidence that there are ways to help your pets thrive naturally, as well as find and truly heal the root cause of disease. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Katie Woodley. So, Dr. Woodley, first of all, thank you so much for being on today. It's always really exciting to have somebody with your expertise on that's willing to share this information for free to our audience. So, very thankful to have you on today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. This is my passion, and I'm grateful that you invited me to be here.
I love it. We're so excited. So before we get started, can you just introduce yourself a little bit and talk about your journey into the veterinarian space, but also into the more integrative space as well?
Yeah, so probably like many vets, like I've always had a passion for animals growing up. I think that was my mom was like the animal savior. We always, you know, all the stray cats would find their way to our house and we would take them in and take care of them. And so I kind of knew I wanted to go into some type of medical field. I come from a family of doctors, but there was something missing with just like the human medical side. And when I did time in like vet clinics and I worked as an assistant, that's where like my heart really like lit on fire. I was like, this is really neat. I love this side. I get to do like learn the biology, the knowledge side, but then also to work with amazing animals and also amazing people that, you know, have those animals in their lives. What happened though, so I went to vet school in New Zealand. So I went overseas and did my vet training, which was like going to Colorado State, just in a really cool exotic place. So I ended up coming back to the States about 2 years after finishing vet school. I ended up marrying a New Zealander. And when we moved back, I was working in conventional medicine. And 6 months after moving back, my husband developed an autoimmune disease. And that right there was like, holy smokes, this is not right. Like there's something off, like being told like food doesn't matter, that there's nothing you can do other than strong immunosuppressives. And I ended up going down the rabbit hole being like, this is not okay. There's got to be another way. And then I realized too, like, wow, I'm doing what the medical doctors are doing to us, saying there's nothing more you can do. And I'm saying that to my patients and my clients when we get to like late stage, end stage disease. And I was like, I can do so much better. I never want to leave someone without hope ever again, the way that we felt sitting across from the doctor when my husband got his diagnosis. And so I became acupuncture certified, Chinese herbal medicine certified, dived into like food therapy. And what I realized throughout that, I changed practices because they weren't really open to what I did. There was a lot of like making fun of like the woo-woo medicine and all those things. And so I ended up realizing like, why am I doing all the things that I don't really enjoy when I see the power of using a holistic approach? And so I decided to create my own business, The Natural Pet Doctor, at the time of this recording, about 5 years ago. So a year before COVID hit is when I decided to start my own business.
Wow.
It was a house call practice. I did acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, food therapy. And then, of course, the world changed, right? And so I ended up shifting, of course, online, because if you didn't shift, there's nothing I could do other than go back and work in the conventional setting, which I knew I never wanted to do again. And so this is where we shifted online, and I started doing a lot of online education and training, and I absolutely love it. And we're able to like break down the barriers of like physical distance to really help serve pet parents and show them that there's a different way of approaching their pet's care. And so that's just evolved to like different types of programs and serving pet parents in a very different way, but a way that really just fills my soul every day. And I get to help people that I never thought I'd be able to help because they live, you know, across the world, and just seeing the results that they get and hearing their stories and seeing their confidence too. And then they share it with others. And it's just, it's funny because I never thought it would end up here. I never thought about owning my own practice. I never thought of having an online business, but it's like the best thing that's ever happened to me out of like the blessing, I say now, that my husband got sick and we found a different way of doing things so we can help educate others to help avoid those mistakes that we might have made.
Right. And so I want to go back a little bit to when you first started to understand that, like, oh, I'm doing this with my own clients that I just had done with my husband and I. That had to have been a pretty tough realization, right? Because like when we were first starting out as pet parents, we were on Rachel Ray Nutrish. Like we were deep in it. You know what I mean? And then to kind of learn that, like, oh, choices that we're making are affecting our pet's health. And at your point, you had clients that had to have been kind of a tough realization to look inward at that point. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like when you say you're feeding Rachel Ray, like my soul dog, Finn, was a German Shepherd. And I was like, I feed him like Royal Kinnan German Shepherd food, right? And
yeah.
I'm like, heck, what's that? Like, what was I drinking? Yeah. So, you know, it's here's the thing, like, I'm at a place now where we look back, and I always say this to like my clients and even like online, because we carry so much guilt and shame, right? And most people will start with that, like, wow, I wish I had done more. Why didn't I do that? Like, I caused this. And here's the thing, we're all doing the best that we can with the knowledge we have at the time. And so now, through a lot of like self-development too, I mean, it's taken work to get to this place, I look at all of these, like what you potentially would call a failure, right? But a challenge. And I'll like being able to assess that and go, okay, I learned from that. This is how I move forward. And so like a lot of my pets, part of my story I didn't even mention is like losing 3 pets to cancer. Wow. Losing Finn to a brain tumor and him having seizures. And I look at like, wow, if I had started him off on the right path with like fresh food, nutrition, all of these things, known about the toxins and the importance of detoxification in the environment, like, would I have been able to prevent that disease? I have no idea. However, what I do know is because I kept learning and growing, when Finn did get sick and we were given a week for him to live because he was not doing well on conventional meds, he was really sick. The neurologist was like, take him home, love on him, bring him back. I had more tools in my toolbox with holistic medicine, and we gave him an additional year of amazing quality of life.
Wow.
So that's the thing where I'm like, yeah, maybe I could have done things different. I can't change the past, but I can change the future because I continue to learn versus stay in that guilt and shame phase. So for anyone listening to this who's feeling that, you're not alone. We've all been there with our pets when we were at the beginning stages of that journey. But I also look at like, wow, what am I going to know 10 years from now? Like, it's going to be incredible. And I'm going to look back to today and be like, you know, there's things that I would have changed now with how I practice and what I teach people and all that. But that's really important. We're on the journey, and that we stay on that journey to continue to learn so we can do the best that we can.
Right. And like you said, it's all data. That's been our saying lately. It's like any mistake, failure, anything that we feel like didn't go right, it's just data that we can learn from and implement in the future. But what you were kind of talking about, it seems like there's a pretty large mental health side of this whole pet parenting thing, but for the pet parents. It's like, I think we as pet parents have to take responsibility for our own emotions and our own things and heal that stuff so that we can be better pet parents. So that seems to fit into kind of what you're talking about there.
Yeah. I mean, this is part of like the holistic way, right? I always say holistic with a W because it's the whole environment, and emotional health is a huge like pillar of health. And, you know, it's not commonly talked about for especially vet medicine, pet care, our emotions, and it's not an easy thing, right? It's uncomfortable. And that's why most people don't do it. But I can tell you, you can't pour from an empty cup. So it's really important that we're taking care of ourselves, that we're allowing ourselves to let go some of like the shame and the guilt, you know, especially if people are going through their pets being sick or they've lost a pet recently. It's helped me tremendously because, yeah, there's mistakes that I've made in the past with my own pets. I look back at the way I used to treat clients and patients, you know, 10 years ago when I didn't know better. And yeah, I would love to change those things. But once again, you're doing the best that you can. The biggest thing is continue doing that personal growth and development and learning and knowledge. And there's so much like free content like this amazing podcast that you can, you know, take advantage of now to make sure that you are continuing to grow and doing your best and giving yourself grace that you are learning and we're always learning.
Dr. Katie, you're such a baddie. Oh my
I
gosh.
love that. I love that. I love the whole mental health side of it for humans too. I think it's
Yeah.
so important.
Yeah, we've been learning a lot about that. And so I'm in the Dr. Ruth's program, the holistic pet health coaching, and I'm also in a human version of like someone's coaching me with my own health. And we talk a lot about a lot of mindset things. And she has mentioned to me multiple times, she's like, you got to get really specific with like the kind of client you want to have, and you need to do like pre-interviews before you take on clients. She was like, because it's going to be really hard to look at somebody and see like they're struggling with their own mental health, or they're having a hard time in their life, or they're struggling with food for themselves or something, and then expect them to fix anything or like enhance anything for their dog. And I'm just like,
Because
oh.
it's like that total lifestyle change for a
Yeah.
lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, people, we all start at a certain place, right? Some people will dive
Definitely.
straight in and change 1,000% of the things. But there's also a place, you know, when you start learning about personal development, and I can see in my life where you go through it. Like all of us will go through this phase. It's called the Valley of Despair, right? And a lot of times when you like lose a pet right after, we are in the Valley of Despair and we're like, I can't go on. I can't go forward. You can't see a path forward. We're essentially in like survival mode, and it's really hard to like kickstart out of that to start making those huge like shifts that essentially we talk about. And one of the ways that I talk about it with my own clients, and I agree 100% with what you mentioned, Kenzie, like in terms of identifying the people who are ready to start taking action versus like pulling people along, it's not very fun. But we can plant seeds. So when they're ready, they're out of the valley of despair, you have something there to support them. And the big thing is that, you know, rather than like you have to massive overhaul your entire life, your pet's life, like now you need to cook for them and then you got to change your environment, throw out all the chemical products, right? Like, you know, it's like crazy. It's super overwhelming if you're new, but if you just start with one thing. And that's like how I approach like my whole life. What's the one thing in business I need to focus on? What's the one thing that I love that lights me up? What's the one course I want to take? What's the one thing that this client can start taking action on that resonates with them, that then becomes a habit, makes it easier, and then you can start adding on more things for them to create that true holistic picture that's going to really support their health, their pet's health, and they're going to feel really confident that they're taking those steps and they're taking action.
Right. And that's what I love about why you've gone into the online realm. Like you talked about, we have to plant that seed. And that's exactly how we look at our content. It's like we're offering these tips, not saying you have to do this, you should do this, you should do that. It's like this is what has worked for us. Start to plant that seed. And then if you want to go deeper, that's where you have the personal consultations. That's where you have online guides and the stuff where the people that are ready to kind of take that extra plunge can latch on to that. But like you said, for some people, it's like, hey, what can I hydrate my dog's kibble with? That's all I can think about right now. And it's like, okay, let's start there. I love your philosophy of meeting pet parents where they are.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing too with like the holistic realm is like there's like so much shame and guilt, right? Like so many
So
people are like,
much.
I am still feeding kibble. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's okay. Like what is the one thing that we can implement and change? Like, you know, maybe it is adjusting the type of kibble you're feeding. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing for you to be a success. And I would love for that rhetoric to change, you know, amongst the community, because there's like so much back and forth and it can create division. And it's like slowing down our movement we're trying to create, where it's just like opening up people to the possibilities of what we can do to give the body what it needs to actually help it heal itself, versus like the need for like drugs and things like that. And so it's, yeah, there's just too much shame and guilt, and it doesn't have to be that way. And I want to give people listening like the permission, like it's okay. It's okay to sit there and just take in information. And then when you're ready to take action, you have so many tools and resources to help guide you and be your mentor and support along the way.
I love that. I had to mark that clip because that was beautifully said.
So during your weekly lives where you do Q&As, what are some of the most common questions you're getting, and what advice do you give people with those common questions?
Oh my goodness, we get so many different types of questions. However, you know, I think a big one, as you both are well aware of, is like the food. You know, a lot of people are seeing so many different things, and it can be really confusing when you're looking at all the different types of diets, how you can formulate, like, and so I find a lot of, whether it's in my personal community with like my blueprint program, people will have already gone through a lot of the education side and are fine tuning things like food therapy. So using the energetics of food and deciding like, does this work for my pet based on the situation? Now in my like general, like coffee talks with the doc on Friday that are just like on social media, so anyone can watch. I find that yes, food comes up, but I also see a lot of people kind of floundering, right? They're trying everything. They're trying all these supplements. They're like, it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping it sticks, and it's not sticking. Yeah. And so what happens then is the problem like comes back, they go back to the vet. So, you know, it's like, what am I doing wrong? What am I missing? And this is where I find that we end up using holistic medicine like conventional medicine.
This is, you know, this topic blows my mind. Please talk more about this.
So it's like, okay, when we think about conventional is like Western medicine. And this is where I am not against Western medicine. We need it. There is a time and a place. Like I always say, if I get hit by a car, please take me to the ER and give me pain medications and fix whatever's broken, right? Please. Yes. Like not the time for acupuncture needles afterwards. Like, you know, like take me out of the street and put me in the hospital bed. And so it's the same with our pets, right? There is a time and a place. But the problem with conventional medicine is that those drugs are treating a symptom. So we tend to see resolution. We think we see resolution of the problem, but in reality, we just saw the symptom go away. And we didn't treat the reason, the why that symptom occurred in the first place. That's the downside of conventional medicine. And then on the Eastern medicine approach, so like a true holistic approach, the goal is to try to find the root cause. So we want to figure out why did that happen in the first place that then led to the symptom occurring. So like an ear infection, for example, an ear infection is a symptom. So if we're just using topical medications to treat the ear infection, yes, it helps reduce inflammation and heal that. But if we didn't figure out why, so it could be the food, it could be the gut health, it could be the microbiome, it could be whatever it is, a hypothyroid, a hormone issue, we're going to continue to have the same problem. But the problem now that has happened and is occurring quite a bit is that now we think we're being holistic and we're actually using holistic remedies like conventional medicine. So for example, like an ear infection, now I use a ear wash that has natural herbs in it, right? Versus, you know, the one you would get from the conventional veterinarian. Or we might use, you know, an herb that has antibacterial properties. Or say we have a hot spot. Oh, well, I use green clay topically on it and it went away. But the person didn't take that next really important step because they just didn't know, where we had to ask why was that hot spot there in the first place. So things like slippery elm, right? So many people use slippery elm for vomiting, diarrhea. The problem is, though, yes, there is a time and a place to use it. It is very soothing. It's like a Band-Aid for the gut, for inflammation, to help calm things down. But it's not, most likely not, going to fix why that issue was there in the first place. So it could be like the microbes in the microbiome, all those trillions of different types of microorganisms. We might have an overgrowth of, say, E. coli or Clostridium. Slippery Elm is not going to address that overgrowth and why that overgrowth was there in the first place. So this is where pet parents get stuck so many times, and then they end up with their supplement graveyard, right? I've been there. I can relate to that. Where you're just trying things over and over again. You hear someone online says, let me use this. They try that. They buy this. It's not working. They might not be sticking with it long enough because we forgot to ask the really important question of why am I using this in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So then I'm kind of wondering for our own content, because we offer a lot of what I would call food therapy advice or just nutritional based advice. But I think we feed into that like supplement graveyard a little bit. I think that we are kind of some of the people that talk about like, oh, if your dog's experiencing skin and coat issues, try something high in omega-3s. So if we wanted to kind of help shift that narrative, do you think it would be smart for us to say, here are some, you know, kibble toppers that you can use to improve skin and coat health, but these address the symptoms, not necessarily the core cause?
So here's the thing, like with nutrition, right? A lot of times when we think about, so skin, for example, we're treating like inflammation, right? Omega-3s are a good anti-inflammatory, but we can give too much omegas also. So omegas are kind of like, they're great for feeding the skin. This is my topic I'm speaking on this weekend. So
oh, fun.
I have an entire presentation on skin and gut health and nutrition. So when we think about that, yes, omega-3s are an important part. They're an essential nutrient. They're actually required by the body. They can't be made by the body. We have to take it in through the food. So that can be whole food sources, or it can be something like a supplement. However, if the rest of the diet is off, we end up creating what we call a degeneration. The tissues degenerate. We're not feeding the tissues. And then we lead to inflammation. So it's not just about the omega-3s. It's also like, do we have enough vitamin E? Do we have other things? So when, and this is something we all, like this happens to all of us when we're teaching and educating. People want to hear, what supplement can I give? What thing can I give, right? But you're exactly right, Bryce, where we have to then ask, okay, we're using omega-3s, but if the problem is not going away with that, we need to then ask, maybe it wasn't an omega-3 deficiency. There was something else that was contributing to those symptoms that we saw. So we have to move backwards to try to find that root cause. Now, that's not easy, right? That's the hard part. And that's why people get overwhelmed. They stop and we feel like we're doing something by giving something. And so I think here, like if we were looking at that, I'd be looking at, okay, well, let's just look at the diet. Like so many people are just feeding like, you know, chicken and rice or chicken and vegetables, and they're not actually rotating and creating variety with their food too, or they're missing like the vitamin mineral source of like using organ meats, right? So that would be more of like, that's the foundation. And then those supplements like your omega-3, if we don't have any sources in the diet, that's the thing that fills in the gaps of that foundation. So it's like building a house. The foundation of the house has to be solid, or else that house is going to sink. We're going to see a crack in the wall. So if we're only plastering that crack on the wall and we miss that the foundation had actually sunk, we're going to be just chasing our tails over and over again, trying to fix something, that symptom, where in reality, the foundation, like the food, the nutrition was actually off.
Yeah, definitely. We need to start incorporating that into our content, just making it a little bit more clear that like, this is not a fix. This is not a cure. This is not a solution. I mean, we're going through this right now with our dog Banks. We did a 12, 16 week elimination diet, and he's got a lot of the like skin allergies. He had a lot of the yeast. He's always like biting his paws. His ears are bad. His butt's bad. And so we did the elimination diet and it got rid of his yeast, but it didn't get rid of anything else. So we were like, okay, the yeast was probably attributed to something with the diet, but the rest of this seems different. And so I'm literally sitting there last night in bed. I have a Q-tip and the CBD dog health salve, and I'm taking it out on the Q-tip and spreading it on his butthole. But I'm thinking to myself, like, this is just to relieve symptoms while we try to figure out the rest. So I think that's exactly what you're talking about, is like, we can use some of this stuff even if we are using, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems like we can use some of this stuff even in a bit more of a conventional manner to help relieve some of those symptoms and buy us some time to then focus on the root cause.
100%. So that's the thing. Quality of life is always most important. Whether we're using a conventional drug or whether we're using a supplement to help reduce the symptoms, that is always number one in my book. So if we need to use something stronger, like a drug, like that's a short term, right? While we're using the modalities, the holistic remedies, and then figuring out, okay, well, what's off in the body? Is there an immune system issue? Is there a, you know, the endocannabinoid system? Maybe we need to make sure that we're giving CBD internally because there's an imbalance there. And that's what led to the secondary yeast infection. Yeast is always secondary to something. So you're 100% right. Like, is it the food, like a food sensitivity, a leaky gut that was due to a microbiome issue, but also too, it could be a hormonal issue or an endocrine issue. So we also need to make sure we're doing the testing when we can. I know not everyone can afford all these, like especially a lot of the new functional medicine tests that are out there, but we're lucky because we do have tests that we can run that can help speed up the process. Because if you're just buying supplement after supplement, you're going to be spending a lot of money versus like, okay, let's just do this test. It's going to help us rule in or rule out certain conditions. And then we actually know what we're treating, which makes it easier and cheaper and faster in the long term for our pets. But 100%, I'm not against, like, we need symptom care. And that's where, you know, those things are really, really important for people to use. They tend to have less side effects also. They work better with the body. They're not as strong usually. So, you know, it does take time to help reduce and kind of resolve some of that inflammation. But that's really, really important. It's a tool in the toolbox, but we just have to make sure we're asking the why that led to that symptom showing up in the first place.
Right. So you've talked a lot about the gut today. Can you give a little, I guess, backstory on the importance of the gut and kind of the influence that it has on the entire body of our dogs and cats?
Oh my gosh, the gut is everything. It's like, there's so many, you know, I talk about like the five pillars of health, and gut health and nutrition, of course, is a pillar. The big thing here is that everything is interconnected. So this is where it's commonly missed. So like the ear infection or their skin problem, most like 10 years ago, I wouldn't have known this. I would have gone just like, let's just treat the ear. I had no idea it was actually probably due to a gut problem. So when we talk about the gut, most people think, well, that's like, yeah, we eat food and then we poop out what we don't absorb, right? That's what most people think, like we're digesting and all that. It is part of it. And a lot of times the digestion is off with a lot of like dogs and cats where they don't have the right digestive enzymes. They're lacking that. Those decrease as they age. They don't have enough stomach pH, or the pH is not low enough where it needs to be to activate the enzymes. But the other part too that's gaining a lot of research, of course, is the microbiome. So these are the trillions of different types of microorganisms, bacteria, fungi, protozoa, that should all hopefully be living peacefully together in the small intestine, the large intestine. But there's microbiomes everywhere. There's a microbiome on the skin, there's a microbiome in the ears, there's a microbiome in the kidney, there's a microbiome in the bladder. But for all intensive purposes, the one in the gut is like our biggest. It's like the largest microbiome in the body. And the reason why it's really important is that, for one, food is going to directly impact those microbes. So especially things like fiber, we don't do anything with the fiber. Our microbes, that's their food source. We have to feed the good gut bacteria. So they take that fiber, they take the food, and they will actually break it down and turn it into things like short chain fatty acids, other metabolites. So what that means is the end product of them eating the food and digesting it. And they'll form things like vitamin D, B vitamins, and other hormones too that then connect with the rest of the body and speak to the rest of the body to then potentially cause an imbalance like a skin issue or ear infection. But the thing is when we look at the anatomy of that microbiome, we have the gut. It's one cell layer thick, that gut lining. It's very tiny, that epithelial cell. And then we have the microbes, this mucus layer, the microbes, and then we have the food, the bacteria, and toxins. So there's not much separating between that gut lumen, then the immune system, and then the circulatory system. And we know that 80% of the immune system is actually like going down and speaking with the microbes. So all the things they're producing, it can be inflammatory mediators, chemicals, things that are creating inflammation. They're speaking to that immune system, and then it's connecting with the nerves, the circulatory system, and it can lead to things like brain on fire. So pets who are super anxious, you can't train them. A lot of times it's a gut issue, but it's commonly missed. And then also the skin, the gut-skin axis, the gut-brain axis, and they are constantly communicating back and forth in a bi-directional manner. So if we completely ignore the microbiome, we're going to miss the majority of the reason why a lot of those symptoms are there in the first place. And there's a lot of great tests, right? There's, you know, Animal Biome. There's other companies that allow you to test. Is the balance of bacteria correct? Do we have diversity? So a lot of different types of bacteria. Do we have an overgrowth of bad bacteria that then can lead to inflammation in that gut lining? And then what happens is, possibly like with your own dog, we get leaky gut. Those gut cells that should be nice and tight, held together by tight junctions, separate. And now we have food, bacteria, toxins, foreign substances passing through that gut layer into the circulatory system and overstimulating the immune response. And then that's what leads to inflammation in the rest of the body. So it's a very intricate system. But I think for anyone here, the biggest takeaway is make sure you are assessing your pet's gut. Especially if you're dealing with a chronic health issue, and even if it doesn't seem like it's related, there's probably some element of the gut digestion, the microbiome that might be off that's keeping you stuck and frustrated.
We just did Innovative Pet Labs.
Yes, I love IPL.
Yes,
I love them.
the complete test.
The comprehensive one? Yeah.
Yes. And Harper, our first dog we got, her pancreatic enzymes, is that right?
Was low, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The elastase. Yeah, the yes. Pancreatic elastase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was the only thing that we got back from her. But I mean,
the other three were all green.
Yeah. Just getting all this data, and we just did Glacier Peaks with Banks, who is the one who's having all the yeast and stuff. So we got some really good information there. Like we said, it's just all data. You're just taking it in. Mm-hmm. And now we know. We were giving Banks all these extra supplements and doing these protocols. He has a sensitivity to blueberries and watermelon.
And carrots.
And like, that's really valuable information, because our dogs 100% get our scraps that they can have. When I'm cutting a watermelon, I always give them some. So I feel very fortunate to be able to do these tests to get that background information.
Yeah. And it just kind of felt like you said, we were just shooting in the dark a little bit. And we were talking about this in the last podcast we did, but one of the craziest realizations through all of this was that you can't just feed higher quality stuff and it gets better. That was like what really blew my mind. Cause like we started feeding, you know, the highest quality raw and cooked food, and the issues didn't stop. And so the analogy I've started to create in my own head about this is like, you have a car with a classic engine, and if you put really shitty gas in there, things are going to start to break and not work properly. You can't just put better gas in there and it all goes back to normal. You have to like specifically go in and fix the things that you broke before they can then start using these new nutrients that are, you know, going to be much better utilized. That's been a hard realization.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, like, there's a lot of different factors, right? And so many people, you hear it all the time. A lot of my clients say it too, you know, we changed to a raw food diet and nothing changed. And what that tells me from like a holistic perspective, and, you know, knowing how physiology and all the other anatomy, we have a problem with probably like the immune system, the microbiome, and also the way that we are processing that food. So Chinese medicine changed how I view the body and like the world in general. It's just, it makes so much sense when you start thinking about it, and you can relate it back to conventional medicine. But when we look at like the energetics of food, a raw food diet is really cooling energetically. And so if we have a pet that's already struggling to digest their food, it can actually be one of the harder foods to actually digest for them, because they've got to break it down and process it. And then also too, if they're lacking, you know, digestive enzymes, they're also like it's spleen and Chinese medicine, right? So there's different organ systems that coordinate to different categories in the body. Now, the spleen is kind of like the stomach, if we were going to like compare. They had it a little bit wrong, but that's okay. So it doesn't like to be cold. And so if we're already kind of struggling in that area and now we're feeding cooling foods, that's not even going into the type of proteins we're feeding, right?
Right.
That can all have like, if we're feeding like then like rabbit and white cod, which is even more cooling, like the animal's like, wait, I can't do this. And they're like, they can't break it down. And so we need to make sure we're assessing those things. And it's like, okay, if nothing's changed with a raw food diet, or if we're still seeing like GI issues and we have issues, okay, let's lightly cook it, right? That's going to help break down the food. It warms it a little bit too. So we can tap into the power of the energetics and what these systems should be doing and what they prefer for them to function optimally.
Wow. I traditional Chinese medicine has also absolutely blown my mind and made me look at the world differently. We were talking to, or I think it was in Dr. Marty Goldstein's book, but his, like, one of his first introductions into acupuncture was, I don't know if he was in college or right out of vet school or what, but he had this traditional Chinese veterinarian, and he had this dog in front of him and said, you need a poop sample. And he took this needle and he stuck it in this dog and out plopped a little poop. And when I read that, I was like, this truly is magic. There's no way this is real.
And I grew up like going to an acupuncture, like getting acupuncture and seeing a naturopath. And I think honestly, up until that moment in Dr. Marty's book, Bryce was always like, first of all, he didn't think it like worked at all. And then he was like, okay, you can do whatever you want to do for yourself. And then he heard that and he was like,
now I'm all in on everything. I'm doing all of it.
So my first acupuncture patient, so years ago, was the first modality that I added. And I was treating a Doberman that had Wobbler syndrome, which is like severe neck pain. Like this is like multiple pain medications do not touch it. They usually end up, you know, being put down for the severity of pain. This dog could not lift its head. It was impacting its quality of life. I think they were on 3 or 4 medications at that point. And I was like, hey guys, I just like literally just finished my certification program. I'm new to this. But we don't have other options, right? From what I knew, you know, of course, now I'm like, there's so many things, but, you know, but I was like, why don't we just try it and see what happens? And I wish I had recorded it because everyone would be doing acupuncture if they saw it. The dog laid down. We were in like a separate room. I had like nice, calm music. He laid on his little bed, put the needles in, was talking to, you know, his owners and, you know, pulled the needles out, gave him a massage. The dog just stretched and then he bounces up. Lifts his head high and starts prancing around the room. And I was like, we just started crying. And I was like, oh my God. And what's so crazy with that is that he ended up living for like another 7 years. They actually followed me up to Fort Collins at the clinic that I worked at. They would drive from Colorado Springs up here because they were like, that was your miracle worker. And I was like, I just used acupuncture. Like I used the tools. And it was the most incredible thing I've also seen too, speaking of like weird miracle things, but it makes sense when you think about what these points do, how energy moves and shifts through the meridians, and we can move heat, we can move inflammation by utilizing certain points in the body. And I had a dog who had just like really hot, itchy skin, really inflamed. And it was a white dog, of course, with short hair. It was like a staffy. So it was really easy to see like the inflammation. We put needles in and we watched the inflammation on the back leg actually like move up the leg and disappear. And I was just like, it's like, this is crazy.
You're like, what the hell is this?
I know. It's like, what is happening? This is so cool. And the owner's like, oh my God, you know, but that's the thing. Like I get goosebumps because like, this is like, it's not magic. They're like, when you think about the body and how everything works together, it makes so much sense. If I were to only use something like a steroid, okay, yeah, I suppressed the immune system. What else did I imbalance along the way? We might see resolution of that inflammation, but it's going to impact other things versus put things back into balance, which is what we're doing with herbs, Chinese medicine, acupuncture, all sorts of homeopathy, all the different remedies that we have at our hands to really help the body heal itself. It's the coolest thing ever.
It's absolutely amazing. We were recently talking with one of Kenzie's friends who's an anesthesiologist and like very in the Western medicine, you know, emergency world.
For like probably 20, 30 years.
Yeah, like, he's been deep in it. But he had an experience with acupuncture where he does, like, the Doctors
Without Borders.
Yeah, so he was over in the Middle East doing the Doctors Without Borders stuff, and he got really sick over there. And I don't remember what he said it was.
Well,
something from drinking the water. I mean, the way he described it was, like, on death's door. Like, he couldn't get up out of bed, and this, you know, old woman came in and did some acupuncture where she put a couple needles in his legs and a couple in his gut. And he was like 15 minutes later, he's like up walking around. But the thing that he said that really stuck out to me was people are not stupid and they're not going to do things that don't work. So if something like traditional Chinese medicine is practiced for thousands and thousands of years, there has to be some validity to it, even if it doesn't make sense in a meta-analysis, double-blind Western study. Like, there has to be some validity to it.
Like 5,000 years.
You don't do that with something that doesn't work.
Well, here's the other side to this, because I get it. Like, the research, the studies, this is the things, this is like the battle to show how these things work. Here's the problem, though, with the way that the studies are formulated from a conventional perspective is very different how we use like Chinese medicine. So Chinese medicine is from an individual perspective. So even though, like, let's say we all three have like a skin rash, right, on our arm, and it could even be on the same location, we could each have a different imbalance or pattern that led to that skin rash, and it's going to require three different herbal formulations. So that's where, like, assessing the body, assessing the constitution, which is like your personality. Like, we're all different personalities. Like, there's like, you know, the five elements, like the wood, fire, water. That's the thing. You can't take an herbal formula and put it into a study and have like placebo and one group getting it, because they're all going to have different patterns. That's the problem. So we can never take it and turn it into a Western medicine like study. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit into that category. So that's the problem we have. So what happens now, and you'll see this, and it's good that we're getting more and more studies, but we isolate certain things from those herbs. So we're actually taking that out of the herb itself, the whole plant, or their synergistic properties that work together with all the different types of plants together. That's how Chinese medicine works.
Right.
So it's not the same thing. But, you know, you can show like, okay, astragalus is really good for supporting the immune system. We can use it for cancer. There's a study for like, it treats melanoma. But I'm like, but what if we used a formula that maybe did have astragalus, but it actually fit the imbalance and the pattern for that person or pet? We're going to get a much better response than saying we're using astragalus alone. So that's the hard thing. We can never take this type of approach and put it into the type of studies that Western doctors want to see. And that's where we get stuck. So we have to like break down, like we just literally need them to all practice Western med or like a holistic approach and see like, yes, wow, we're fixing patients. Like, it isn't voodoo medicine. It actually works because we're giving, the body has an innate ability to heal itself when it's given the right tools and we remove the resistance. That's the key. But most people don't know how to do that. And so we're not taught that in vet school. Doctors aren't taught that in medical school. I come from a family of doctors. It's interesting. I find it fascinating having conversations with them about whole body health. It's commonly missed. Like, we need to support detox. We need to support the gut, the digestion, the microbiome. We need to support emotional health. We need to support immune health. We need to support our ecosystem, and we need to support ourselves through the season transitions. Like, we need to support our, like, that's the thing. That's the beauty of the entire ecosystem and the, like, the Chinese medicine perspective of taking everything as a whole rather than individual components.
This is blowing my mind. Okay. I gotta ask if this is correct, because I have to simplify this for me. So, traditional Chinese medicine, homeopathy, a lot of these more Eastern modalities, these more holistic modalities, don't fit into Western studies because they're not designed to work for every person. They're not designed to be one thing that like works for a bunch of people.
Formula.
Right. So, like, wow. Okay. I kind of had always heard that these don't fit into the Western studies, but I never truly understood why. Yeah. But it makes so much sense. It's truly personalized care, and Western care wants to be one thing for the masses.
Yeah. So if you think about, all of the people that leave comments or come to you asking questions, they have like diarrhea, right? but they might use slippery elm, or they might use, you know, even a Chinese medicine. This is where Chinese medicine is used inappropriately all the time. It's like someone heard like this formula worked for my dog. And they're like, well, my dog has the same symptom, and they try it and it makes their dog worse. That's because the pattern is different. And so this is where there's a lot of like, this is a prime example of how we're using holistic medicine as conventional medicine. Whereas you take like, say, a conventional medicine, and we take something like a steroid, or let's use like a non-steroidal pain medication, it's going to block certain receptors, and then that affects the like pathway down below it. So it's working at one specific part, but then we're also impacting the rest of the body. Whereas we use herbs for the certain imbalances, it's not working on the one single like receptor, it's working on the whole body. And they're working together. So when you take the whole plant, you're less likely to have side effects because you have synergistic properties. Meaning, yeah, if we isolated something from, you know, an herb that's toxic by itself, this is where you'll see people say, like, my vet said this was toxic. But if we used it in whole food form, you have protective properties of that plant that keep you safe. So it doesn't, like, comfrey. Comfrey is one that comes up where you can't use that, like, but it's actually really helpful for reducing pain and inflammation. And this is too, like, I use a ton of like essential oils and self-selection with herbs for cats, and people freak out because they're like, oh my God, you're letting your cat eat that? And I'm like, I'm not giving them lilies. Like, I'm not doing stupid things like that, right? But we can allow our pets to choose and self-select what their body needs, because once again, we all possess the innate ability to know what our bodies need if we're actually listening. And our pets are actually pretty good at it when we give them the opportunity to choose. Where we're turned off, we're so busy, we're stuck in our brains, or, you know, we're not actually connecting with our heart space, and we're not able to like hear what our body needs. And then we just keep going until we eventually break and our body forces us to stop.
Goodness. That is so crazy. Okay, you mentioned comfrey. Is that how you say it? Well, can you explain what that is? I don't know what that is.
So it's an herb. So it's a plant. And it's used for inflammation. So it can be used for the gut. It can be used topically. There's, you know, you can also have like, think about like homeopathy. I'm not trained in homeopathy. I know a little bit to make me dangerous with like like homeopathy, right? You know, Arsenica album, your like Thua for vaccine stuff. Like, I know like a little bit, but, you know, you can take that plant and you can turn it into a homeopathy remedy. If you give it too much, it'll actually cause the symptoms of like a toxicity. Like, that's how homeopathy treating like treats like. So with herbs though, so like comfrey, it's just another plant. It's a tool in your toolbox to treat like, okay, we have a lot of inflammation. What can we use to help with that? But we want to just take the whole plant. Because that's the synergistic properties of the different constituents, the different components, the alkaloids. Like, this is like CBD, right?
Yeah.
We have so many different things. But if you start isolating, like when you start seeing like CBD isolates, now what we're doing is we're not getting the synergistic full spectrum properties of that full plant.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna
literally going to bring up CBD oil. Yep. That's the one we've been learning about a lot.
That is exactly how it works. Now we can use, there's different isolates that do different things. There's a lot of studies coming out, but it works off of that principle. Like, if we want the benefits of the whole plant, we need to use the like full spectrum versus, or broad spectrum. I mean, there's a lot of terminology things,
right.
But this is where if we isolate something, it may not work as well as the whole plant. For those very reasons, because they're doing different things. So what do we like see with drugs, right? You have like what the like opioids, right? From what the poppy plant? Am I getting rid of it? Okay. So we extract out the opioid from that plant. So we're not using the whole plant anymore, which can also make it more toxic if you use too much of it.
Wow.
So we get drugs from plants. Like, that's the crazy thing when people say herbal medicine doesn't work. I'm like, well, where'd all your drugs come from?
Yeah.
It came from research on the plants, and then they isolated it. So then they can actually, you know, patent it and make money from it. You can't
that's
make money and patent a plant. You can't
right.
patent a plant. It's not possible. So, I mean, these companies are smart. They know what they're doing. There is a financial component to this, of course. But if we were to take a step back once again and use the whole plant as medicine, you're most likely going to keep yourself and your pet safer, and you're going to get better results from it.
Wow. This is crazy.
It's so crazy.
Just when, like, We're very in the camp of we're never going to be experts. There's especially in the holistic realm and traditional Chinese medicine, like you are a lifelong learner in these things. But just when I'm like, I think I'm getting this a little.
Yeah.
Like, we have a podcast and I'm like,
Here's the thing though, to keep like to help you guys feel, but I feel the same way. There is so much.
Really?
There is so much to learn and to, like I listen to some of my colleagues that have been doing Chinese medicine for years and I'm like, "Oh my goodness." Like, "Oh my goodness." So, that's the thing and that's like the beauty of this, right? Once you start learning, like continue to learn because there's so much here to unravel and it doesn't have to be where you have to implement everything. But if you can take just one thing, right? Maybe it's like assessing like, "Okay, I'm using this drug. Is there an alternative that I could use instead?" And then you start that, and, you know, work if you can work with someone to make sure that they, you know, they don't have any side effects or interactions, you can start reducing the amount of drug that you're using, and the herb covers the purpose and keeps your pet safer and keeps them from getting side effects. This is like your antacids. I see that all the time. The antacids, Pepcid, so overused. Pets are on it for life. It impacts their vitamin, mineral, nutritional status and causes degeneration. They can't break down their food. It just impacts everything. And but they don't know what else to use. And so like my colleagues, I don't blame them. They're doing the best that they can with the knowledge that they have. But if we were able to look at some of these other Chinese herbal medicines, you know, I'm not going to say the names because everyone would probably jump on it and buy it, right? And it's like the right pattern. That's why I don't say the names so much. But there's Chinese herbs that you can use instead for certain imbalances that cause the acid reflux that we were treating for the Pepcid, using the Pepcid for. And then we're actually solving the imbalance and healing that pet. Essentially, we just have to continue to teach, educate, plant those seeds along the way. Others will see it. And two, the more pet parents that know about this, they can ask those questions at the vet clinic. And then eventually, this is in my idealistic mind that vets will go, wait a second, there's got to be more, or why isn't this working? And these people, I'm getting person after person asking about the same thing. There's got to be something to it. I need to go and do some research. And then they get on the journey that we were at, you know, like for me, like 10 years ago. And then they start learning, they start implementing, they start seeing the miracles that aren't truly miracles. We're just giving the body what it needs to heal. And the whole entire system and industry changes for the better of everyone, right? Like that's my idealistic view, so
Yeah,
of
it's
what we can do
beautiful.
together.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Dr. Woodley, we're gonna let you get going. We got through three questions out of our like 10. So this cannot be the only podcast that we do together. We have a lot more to talk about. But seriously, thank you so much. Like, I think these kind of podcasts, like you said, these are the podcasts where a pet parent is gonna come, they're gonna learn about something, they're gonna try it at home, it's gonna work, and then they're gonna go to their vet, and their vet's gonna research it more, and that's that chain reaction that we're starting. So we are beyond thankful that you chose to take some of your time to educate our audience and us today. I mean, my gosh, we learned so much. So thank you, truly.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I love this. And I'm learning right alongside you guys. We're all just at different places of our journey. So keep on learning, and I'm excited to come back and share more with your audience. So thanks again for having me.
Of course, we really appreciate it. And to those of you that are listening or watching, thank you so much for choosing to spend your day with us. As always, I'm Bryce,
I'm Kinsey.
and we'll see you in the next episode.